It's the My Michelle Live Podcast.
Looking for the God story and news of the day. My Michelle Live, news and views. Here's Michelle.
Michelle Mendoza today on News and Views Thursday. We're going to give you a little hope in the midst of all the hysteria that is surrounding us. Hope and hysteria. Because, my friends, you watch the news, you look at what's going on in the world around you, you look at what's happening on social media, and it's like it's going crazy. And the average person, come on, really, we do this, don't we? We think, am I going nuts? I mean, when did the world get like this? There are people who are losing their jobs because of the jab. But if that's not enough, a Christian nurse is suing a hospital because she was fired for refusing to remove her cross necklace. Come on, what country are we living in? Abortion is morally good, a morally good decision, according to a minister in a USA Today column. We're in a world where people have gone mad. Scientific American, I'm going to share probably the nuttiest story I've heard in a while that came out, well, against the Jedi. We'll share that today. According to a Barna poll, they say 94% of Americans reject a biblical worldview. But today on My Michelle Live, if you think you're going crazy or the world's going crazy and you're looking around thinking, am I the only person who maybe has at least a small amount of common sense, guess what? You're not. There's a lot of people who think like you. Maybe not in the media, maybe not in Washington, D.C., maybe not sitting in the governor's mansion, but there are a lot of people. We're going to talk with a TikToker who is just a mom, like as though just a mom should ever be said together in a sentence. But she's a mom. She's a homeschooling mom. And she's starting to speak her voice, and people are listening. We're also going to talk with a man who's done his research, and he says, oh, Barna, you might find these people for your polls, but you know what? Times, they are a-changing. It's a little hope in hysteria. This is News and Views Thursday. In our News and Views today, we're going to be
It's the My Michelle Live Podcast.
Yeah, I have no idea. I started pushing buttons, and my new friend Sunny here says technology is like her enemy, and then everything starts going crazy. I laughed at first. Now I'm starting to believe her. I don't know if you've heard this yet, Sunny, but apparently, according to Scientific American, you can no longer use the acronym JEDI to promote justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion, because JEDI are a religious order of intergalactic police monks prone to white saviorism and toxic masculinity. And I'm just going, really? Nothing sacred anymore, not even the freaking Jedi. So Sunny, I came across Sunny on her TikToks, and she's a mom. She's passionate, and she's not afraid to tell the truth. And why I loved Sunny is because Sunny is like us. You know, just trying to go through life, love her family, raise her kids until the crazy just gets too much. So, Sunny, thanks for making time for me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
What was it that kind of put you over the edge that started you with sharing your voice on TikTok? And why did you choose TikTok?
Well, the funny thing is I actually chose TikTok because my nieces were on it. And it was like this whole joke of how I could get followers. And then I realized what a platform it really was to share. And when I started, it was in the mayhem of Chop Chaz, whatever you want to call it, in Seattle.
And you're in the Seattle area.
Yes, I am. Okay. Well, not in the city, thank goodness, but Washington. So I couldn't sit back and be quiet anymore. I mean, I've never been super quiet, but I couldn't sit back and not share with this platform. So it kind of all began there.
It's refreshing because it seems as though the media keeps shutting out voices without having that balance or without doing that research that they're supposed to do and say, this is the issue with Chaz or CHOP or whatever it may be, COVID. Here's this side, here's that side, and doing the reports. And so it's almost as if we organically have to start sharing our voice. Right?
Yes. Now, we, as dirty and gross as the news, sorry, life, as the news has gotten, we turned it off and we do our own research now. It was honestly getting into our heads and making us just not wonderful people. It was so dark and dreary, and we had to just quit and do the research for ourselves. So when I share on TikTok, it's very important that people know I have done research, but I am not everything. You got to go do your own research.
There you go.
To search for yourself.
A lot of folks are taking to TikTok and they're doing the research and they're showing, look, I found this. This is what it says. And that's great. We're doing the job that the media is supposed to do. And you're homeschooling your kids. You're trying to get dinner together. So kudos to you. I've been following some of the TikTok videos.
Okay. I have my beliefs and I'm pretty vocal about them. But what I really truly don't understand, like, I'm a pretty level-headed person and I can talk to people, but I don't know how everything that's going on has me so terrified for our future. It has my skin crawling, it has my blood boiling, and there's a whole lot of people that don't even recognize it. Is it the brainwashed, or is it just giving up freedom so you can live your life a certain way? Like, I don't understand. How could we be so far removed from each other?
It has been pretty disturbing. Having kids in that age group kind of makes you a little more privy to what's going on.
Absolutely. You have to be vigilant about what's happening. You know, with COVID, the fact that they said no volunteers in the class was so wrong to me. I'm sorry, you're not going to have my kids for 6 days and say, or 6 hours a day and say, I can't pop in to see what's going on. Mm-mm. You know, and I have family members that are, you know, in high school, and some of the stuff that happens there is just, it's the same. They really don't want extra eyes and ears, and everything tells me that is wrong.
It is. There have been some pretty disturbing things that you've heard through the grapevine that you have shared, or things that you have been firsthand aware of. Some of the segregation, the medical segregation, the discrimination because freaking kids have the nerve to wear Carhartts, right? And these are some of the things that have been on your radar. And I wanted you to share some with our audience, because our audience, like you and I, are looking through the news and they're going, I didn't hear that. Where'd that come from?
Yeah, exactly. You won't hear that. So in our town, my hometown, a pretty big group of kids had decided, I'm not wearing these masks. I'm done. One, they're smart. They're young adults. They're coming into adulthood. And these kids are not stupid. And they said, you know, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me. We can do this and this, but we can't do this and that. And we have, and they've made a stand, and they just popped them out in a portable. And they could sit in there without social distancing and all the things that keep them safe. But that was kind of the start of something for a lot of these high schoolers in our town. I mean, they were on Fox News. Is that good or bad? I don't know. But this story's out there. And, you know, I'm very active. I will call principals, things like that. And I am not kidding you. I had one principal tell me, well, these kids are feral kids. And you know what I said? I said, that's because the government has failed them. And I'm not saying these kids are feral. They are clever. They are so much smarter than these people want them to be that it is mind-boggling.
Wow. Feral kids. All right. Yeah. So let's just go ahead and label. If I was going to say, well, you know, those kids are just gay. Those kids are just the black kids. Oh my gosh. That would be egregious. It is egregious. But to label kids like that shows a lack of ability. Just like you said, come on, you're failing the kids. If that's the way they are, they're with you most of the day. What's happening here, sweetheart? That's a problem. So you've decided to homeschool your kids, and crazy, but so many people have started homeschooling, especially since COVID. They went, well, we're doing it anyway. The schools are getting crazier. Let's just do this thing.
Might as well. Yeah. I call myself a forced homeschool parent. I great educational years. I really enjoyed school, but it's not the same. It's just not the same anymore. And I love having my boys close to home. We get our learning in, and then we get to do like real life. You know, we get to go out, help daddy with work, do what we need to do. And there's so many ways we're learning that are so much more important than some of these 6 hours spent in the school.
Isn't that right? There's so many things that you can do that bring real life lessons. Were you surprised that you started getting so much attention, likes, and so many dislikes on TikTok?
Yes, and that's okay. I got big shoulders. People don't like to hear truth in front of them. They like to hear the right? It's all unicorns and rainbows. Well, our world is not unicorn and rainbows. I had a feeling I would get a lot of dislike, but the support that I've gotten has been incredible, especially in our community. I mean, I have so many people reaching out to me daily asking how I can help with this, that, or, and I'm happy to help anybody, whether it's homeschool, start a business, whatever you have to do to not be coerced into what the government wants. I'm open, but people are pretty nasty out there, but that's all right.
What's some of the bad out there? I think it's important because people might be like you and say, I want to start speaking out. I mean, maybe I'm not going to do TikTok videos, but maybe I might start liking them. Maybe I won't just be silent. Maybe I will take an active role in one way. You may disagree with Sunny. You may disagree with me, but free speech and the right to express those things are so important. And we are seeing that there are people that say, hey, I'm totally pro-vax, but I'm also pro, you get to choose what you want to do with your body. And that's where a lot of people stand. Because of that stance, people are getting braver. What is maybe some of the worst that you've had to experience? Just to prepare us a little bit.
People will literally wish death upon you and your family. And I'm like, well, that's going to happen inevitably anyhow. So thanks anyways. Have a good day. You know,
well, talk about de-escalating. Boom. You just took all the air out of their balloon.
Just write your looks, this, you're a terrible person, you're that and the other. And so you got to have some thick skin.
Yeah, I mean, you do.
And just know they're obviously miserable people.
And I would concur with you. We have become a country of miserable people, much like you said, got to stay away from the news sometimes. Do your own research. Look into what's really going on. It has made us ugly. And it's taken away a bit of the soul of what America has been, the kind of place where I disagree with you, but we're neighbors. I disagree with you, but we're going to stand side by side and sing that national anthem loud and proud. I disagree with you, but I'm going to fight for your right to speak. That's what America's about. And my God, it's a beautiful country because of that. It is something to celebrate. So you keep on keeping on, girl. And we'll keep following you, and maybe you can join us again sometime.
Yes, for sure. I do want, just for anybody that watches, I want to say this, maybe it's a plug. It's a group of people that I know. It's called freedomtochoose.org. It's an awesome website with so many options for people that are being backed into corners. So it's a movement kind of across our state, and there's a lot of legality things that will help everybody out there.
I appreciate it. Freedomtochoose.org. And Sunny will put a link to her TikTok so you can like her. She can get more likes and make more people mad. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My Michelle Live, news and views. Here's Michelle.
Hey, thanks for making My Michelle Live part of your day. I'm pretty excited about the times that we live in. What? Are you kidding? What, are you crazy, girl? Look, My Michelle Live, whether we're talking about news and views, which we are today, health, science and technology, even sports and entertainment, we always look for the God story. If there's a God, what's he doing in all of this? Is he doing anything? And what does he expect of you and I? Well, today we're going to talk about a little bit of hope in hysteria. And let me tell you, things are getting hysterical and not in a funny way out there. Well, maybe in a funny way. Okay. Kids in school called out of class to the office and a big talking to. Do you know why? Well, for crying out loud, they're wearing Carhartts and straight leg jeans. Come on, that's offensive. That's too country, aka racist. So yeah, that's happening today. Oh, you'll love this. A woman in need of a liver transplant. This is sad. Denied. Why? Because she's not vaccinated. Now, getting a vaccine could endanger her health, but a transplant, well, not getting one will kill her. So they've bribed us, chided us, fired us. Now, don't get a vaccine. It's a death sentence. That's not good. But let me just bring it to the funny stuff. You can't make this stuff up, sweetheart. You can't. This is my personal favorite. From Scientific American. Have you heard this? You know, I have to breathe. The acronym JEDI, G-E-D-I, promoting justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. Well, that term JEDI is canceled. Do you know why? I'm going to read this off. Because JEDI are a religious order. Intergalactic police monks prone to white saviorism and toxically masculine approaches to conflict resolution. Shut up. And that's what's happening when freedom buys you time and resources to do nothing but stupid. But what if it turns out that brewing beneath the surface is something good? What if God's doing something in this? What if there's a revival on the way? What if there's a renewed Christian age rising? Well, I want to introduce you to my guest, Dr. Steve Turley. You know him from Turley Talks, and you may know him from his book, which we're going to be talking about in just a little bit, that kind of highlights what we're talking about today. Look, there are some good things that are happening in the midst of mandates and mayhem. And maybe, Dr. Steve, you've got your finger on the pulse of what's going on. Hey, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Michelle. But after that introduction, I'm done. I'm turning it all in. I renounce all my work. The world is too crazy. I admit it now. You've broken me, Michelle. I've been broken.
When they start messing with the JEDI, you know, come on. They've just gone way too far. I really did try
white,
to say that.
White saviorism and all that. I mean, it's just hilarious. And half the time, it's a bunch of white liberals saying this anyway. So it's so bizarre. But regardless.
Talk about saviorism.
Right, so exactly.
Here we are in this crazy new world, but you point out regularly on your website through news that you scour and you report that there are some upticks, there's some things that are going on, and there's some pockets of freedom that are not only encouraging, but kind of underreported.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, completely ignored. Scholars.
I was trying to be polite.
Right. No, you're being very kind there. But yeah, you're right. Just outright ignored. Scholars in the academy are recognizing that we're actually, in many respects, all this insanity that's going on right now are kind of birth pangs. They're birth pangs of an old world that's trying to hold on to its power, but with total futility, because a new world is being born. It's rising up. And in simple terms, the old world would be called modern. And a modern world started really more or less in the 18th century with the advent of scientific rationalism as thought of as the one true way of understanding all of reality. So in the 18th century, it became fashionable to think that all religion, all customs, cultures, and traditions, they were just basically superstitious. They were prehistoric. They were ignorant. And they needed to be thrown away. And we need to start sort of a brave new world rooted in scientific rationalism that would give us the one single political and economic system that would unify all of humanity. So this is the way the Enlightenment philosophers were arguing in the mid-18th century into the 19th century. You know, colonialism, colonization, this was, you know, this is the hope of man. We're going to civilize all these savages and all this sort of stuff. And then that led into the 20th century into three major competitors for that one size fits all political and economic system. So you had the emergence of sort of a Western globalism. You had the emergence of Soviet communism, and then of course Nazi fascism. And they all have been fighting each other like this colossal, you know, Godzilla, King Kong kind of movie. And in the end, what we're finding out is they're all basically, they've killed themselves. They're all dying. They're all collapsing. All belief systems outside of anything rooted in eternity is eventually futile. It's going to fall apart. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the old sort of Cold War era begin to shatter. It's beginning to fall apart. It started on Christmas Day, 1991, with the death of the Soviet Union. Russia overnight lost a third of its territories. And ever since then, since 1991, we've seen 35 nations added to the world map. We have secessionist movements quite literally going on everywhere because the old Cold War world is breaking up. It's fracturing. And what populations are more and more doing is they're going to back to nation, culture, custom, tradition, most particularly their religious traditions as mechanisms of resistance against what they see, I think rightly so, is the anti-cultural processes of globalization and its secular aristocracy. So that's what we're seeing right now. We're literally seeing kind of a clash of civilizations where a new civilization, a sort of a postmodern, post-secular civilization is rising up, but with an old world, old civilization, old Cold War civilization that's doing everything it possibly can to try to hold on to power. But in the end, it's all futile.
Makes kind of a bit of sense, because as we talk about a lot on My Michelle Live, Dr. Steve, check your worldview. Right. Take it out to the logical conclusion, because eventually pretty much everything breaks down. It just falls apart. And so because it falls apart, the only thing you can do is, well, cancel anything that would try to challenge it. Right. And it's as though while this is happening all over the world, undeniable what you're talking about, we're seeing an uprising in faith like never before, really. I would say unprecedented, as some studies have shown. But yet, here in the most advanced country in the world, we are holding on to dear life. And you mentioned Russia back in 1991 at the fall of the Russian Empire. You know, things that are happening today remind me an awful lot of the things we used to make fun of in the old Soviet Union, the propaganda. And as a kid, I would look at that and ask, Mom, why? How do people believe some of that stuff? I mean, why do they believe it? The idea of propaganda had not sunk into my young brain, that people would just believe ridiculous ideas. And yet, here we are today.
Yes, exactly.
USA! Yeah. USA!
You got it. No, you said it. You said it brilliantly. But again, the good news of this is that right now, some of the most conservative places on the planet once belonged to the Soviet Union. So we're talking Eastern Europe. So Hungary, Viktor Orban's Fidesz party has done sensational jobs. They have declared their commitment to the revitalization of Christian civilization. Poland's president, Andrzej Duda, in 2016, formally declared Jesus Christ as Lord and King over their nation. We're seeing similar movements going on in the nation of Georgia, Armenia, and Russia. When Russia fell apart in the Soviet Union back in 91, there were only about 2,000 functional churches. Today, they're reaching upwards of 60,000. So we're seeing the return of the Orthodox Church to a prominence not seen since the days of the czars. So yeah, they suffered under the most atheistic regime ever. Keep in mind, God has a sense of humor. That atheistic regime came to an official end on December 25th, 1991, on Christmas Day, for a new world to be born. And that's what we're seeing. And so Europe is kind of split right now. The conservative side of Europe is the former Soviet blocs and the satellites. It's the liberal, the craziness that's going on is actually in Western Europe. So so that should bring us a lot of hope, because what we're seeing, and Pope John Paul II helped to lead this back in the late 70s and 80s, is a revitalization of the Christian faith that refuses to be ruled by the anti-culture, anti-human processes of secularization. And so I think we're seeing something comparable here, where more and more red states are more or less announcing their secession, their separation from blue states. And again, it's not so much a secession from a nation as it is a secession from an old world order that the Washington elite are so desperately trying to hold on to. But it's not the future. It's in its twilight, dying days, and a new religious age is rising.
And yet here in the United States, you wouldn't know it necessarily, especially since we've had a reliance rightfully on the media. That's their right place in a free society. A lot, everything that you just said, thank God you're watching My Michelle Live right now, or maybe you're tuning in later to Turley Talks, because you're not going to hear it on CNN, NBC, ABC. You're not going to hear it there. But this is actually going on in the world. And it really is no wonder people will literally question the idea, this radical, strange new science of natural immunity. What? Where did you get your facts on that? Where are you pulling that off of? Because we've been so indoctrinated, and we have been watching and eating up like a fat kid loves chocolate cake, or like I love chocolate cake, everything that they're feeding us. So we are indeed seeing some bright spots, and we're seeing some pushback. Let's talk about some of these. One that you talked about extensively was what's happening in Texas with the mandates.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's this is a direct response to Joe Biden's overreach, but Governor Greg Abbott signed an executive order banning any and all private businesses from issuing vaccine mandates on their employees or customers. So this is an expansion of a previous executive order that Abbott signed that prohibited all state agencies, all government institutions from employing, requiring employees to get vaccinated. It's very comparable to what Governor DeSantis has done in Florida. Actually, DeSantis is now starting to fine counties in Florida to the tune of $3.2 million for forcing vax requirements on their employees. And so what this is it's, you know, it's interesting. It's not even just a pushback against government overreach. For Abbott, and the way he put it in Texas, you know, he said, look at all of the tens of thousands of healthcare staff and law enforcement officers and other essential workers that have been resigning across the nation in protest of these vaccine mandates. We don't want that to happen in Texas and disrupt our healthcare and disrupt our law enforcement. So we're going to put a stop, you know, we're not going to put a gun to people's heads, doctors and nurse staff and law enforcement, to make them get jabbed. Instead, we're going to give them the freedom of conscience that they deserve as created in the image of God, and as our Western tradition is upheld in its finest hours, as it were, throughout the last 2,000 years. The sanctity of conscience is being honored in Texas, and we need to make that clear. You know, the sanctity of conscience is as sacred as anything else that technocratic leftists would want to bring up, and the very fact that they are so willing to sacrifice the sanctity of consciousness, sanctity of conscience, which in the Christian tradition, of course, is the base of our judgment at the end of time. The fact that they're so willing to give that up shows that they have turned their back on the Western tradition and are embracing more of a Aldous Huxley Brave New World or kind of Orwellian 1984.
Okay. But to answer some questions for people as they look at Texas, I think a reasonable person, even if they are indoctrinated into the religion of the jab with Fauci being the high priest, there's questions for thinking people that using your conscience and that kind of freedom to wear a mask, to not wear a mask, how does that protect people from the virus? How does that protect people from getting sick? And what they hear is that, okay, your freedom is so important, you want to put me and grandma and my children at risk for it. And you will hear people say that, yes, indeed, you know, freedom is that important. It is that important, but it's not that important when my grandma dies. It's not that important when my spouse is in the hospital. It's not that important when I'm concerned. So I want to take it from just academics to make it real, sure. Dr. Steve, how does freedom, making those right choices, and that goes back to worldview, doesn't it? When your worldview breaks down, it's not a very good worldview. So does that worldview play out where protecting people from getting sick is concerned, and how?
Yeah, it is. It is. I don't want to minimize the complexity of the issue, but it does. It does call forward the notion of what's called a risk society. And a risk society among globalist scholars, they recognize that's one of the key characteristics of our modern secularized world and why it is so radically dehumanizing. So a risk society is one that faces risks that every generation has had to face, but without the religious traditions that got us through all previous risks. So for example, you know, just traveling from, say, Boston to Baltimore, you know, in the 18th century, that was risky. That was a risky business. And so
think of what else, getting a toothache or even a simple cut on a finger 100 years ago could be life-threatening.
Right. And you took all the precautions necessary, no question, but you took those precautions in light of a larger worldview that recognized that we are under divine providence. We are under divine protection. So the term goodbye is a contracted form of God be with ye. So when you wish someone goodbye, you wish them God's protection and providence over their lives in their travels and their risks. And what we have to understand is what we're facing today in a technocratic society is basically the elimination of that. We still face risks, but now we don't have the assurances that we did that whatever risks we face, they're part of a larger meaning, a larger purpose, and a larger story for our lives. And so now it's all about controlling the risk by controlling the environment that we're in. This is what gun control is all about, right? It has nothing to do with, you know, virtuous people don't shoot each other, okay? So maybe we need to cultivate virtue. No, in order to control the circumstance, you must control the environmental factor behind a gun crime, which by definition is the gun. And so you saw that the southern border where there was that lie thrown out that rangers on horseback were whipping Haitians, you know, if you remember that. So what does Biden do? He bans horses. I mean, you know, you take away the environmental factor and you feel like therefore you've controlled the situation. And that's what the Soviet Union tried to do. It's what China, to a certain extent, is trying to do. And it's a disaster. It doesn't work because the human person does not live by bread alone.
No, and isn't it ironic that in a time where we have more connection, more technology, more protections in place, more safety than we ever have in the history of mankind, we live in abject fear. 100 years ago, when your son or daughter were getting in their covered wagons and heading out west, young man, and you wished them that God be with ye, goodbye. You couldn't pick up the cell phone and say, hey, did you get there okay? What's going on?
Exactly.
You know, and come on. There's some of us who have been hover parents to a degree, right? I mean, you see,
I'm terrible.
We are afraid of everything. And that goes to your worldview. Yeah. And playing off of that, because it is really important that we really have an understanding of why we're where we're at and how the heck we get out of it. Dr. Yeah. Steve, that time of fear that we're living in, that lack of faith that there is something out there that's guiding us, also in this COVID mess, denies this extraordinary body that God's given us. Mm-hmm. We are hearing, get the jab. Do you hear anywhere, hey, chubby, drop some pounds because if you're overweight, you're more likely to get spread and die from COVID. Hey, put down that Snickers bar, sweetheart, because sugar breaks down your immune system. If we really cared, we would see that as much as we're seeing everything else. That can not only protect us from COVID, but a host of other things. That is part of the worldview that says, you know, there is a God that's in control, because we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Our bodies are made to heal. We're not paying attention to that. And now we're seeing it played out in that very science that we have elevated to God, Dr. Steve, that our immune system is better and more effective than all of the viruses, vaccines combined. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Thus, I would argue with you that worldview, that eternal worldview, not only has merit, but it tends to weigh out in the end. And to me, that's astounding. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You've got it. So in a technocratic society, C.S. Lewis wrote about this in the 1940s in his book, The Abolition of Man.
Yes.
And he recognized where modern society was going. He thought the fascist regime, the communist regimes already got there, but he was very worried Western society was moving in that direction as well, because technocratic societies, the societies that put so much faith in science and technology, he recognized by their nature move towards tyranny, because technology, when all said and done, involves control over our environment. But technology, in order to be used rightly, in order to be used effectively, needs to have a class of experts, of technicians who supposedly alone have the competency to be able to effectively manage that technology. So Lewis just pushed it to its logical outworking. He's not alone. Ernst Junger did the same thing. If that's the case, if we have made technology into an idol, and believe that we are most free when we have control, most control over our environment. And if that control requires a class of experts, a technologist class that oversees that technology, then it's very easy for the human person to begin to think that I am most free when they are most in control. And that's the evil genius, as it were, of the modern age. In Maryland, the cash assistance card by which you get groceries, so your food stamps, it's a debit card. It's actually called, if you can believe it, the independence card. I mean, you got to let that hit you. You know, it is so Orwellian. We are most free when these technocrats are most in control. That is Fauciism in a nutshell, that in a bumper sticker. So this is why worldview matters, because if you have a worldview that recognizes that the entire material, biological, chemical, and physical world around you can kill your body, but it cannot kill your soul, When the moment you recognize that we are more than just the sum total of our biological and chemical parts, well, then everything changes. And then we have obligations, you see, that in accordance with our forefathers, we're recognized freedom is not just negative. It's not just a freedom from something. It's also positive. It's a freedom for. Freedom has been given to us as a gift by God in order to pursue what we ought to pursue. This is what's technically known as virtue, where we love what's truly lovely, desire what's truly desirable, and hence experience our ultimate human flourishing.
Another issue that comes up in the era of this not only control, this holding on to modernism is inconsistency. Your worldview should have consistency. It shouldn't change. God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no variableness. There's no shadow of turning with God. He's boom, Johnny on the spot. Oh, is that something you can say about God? It's a Michelle-ism. In our world today, and it is easy to utilize the COVID measures because it is affecting each and every person in our society, we see crazy inconsistency. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask, wear two masks, masks don't matter. You don't need a mask outside. You must wear a mask outside. If you're with a few people, it's okay to not wear a mask. If you're with more people, you should wear a mask. Wear a mask on the plane, but if you're eating, you're not going to spread it. It's like, right. What? Right. What?
It's insane.
But with such authoritarianism, this is what we believe right now. We're just putting this in place because we're still figuring things out, which is how we started. Now it's just one inconsistency after another. So I would think that's another telltale sign of a poor worldview. I'd love for you to comment on that and maybe point out some other things that we can use maybe as a checklist of, okay, my worldview sucks if boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, well, that we could put it all together there. Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, the inconsistency. I was not too long ago in Orlando and in Florida of all places, but I was at one of the Disney restaurants. I will leave it unnamed, and they wouldn't let us in. I was with a group of people. They wouldn't let us in without masks. And I said, I thought this was Florida, and they said, well, but we're under Disney Corporation in California, you know. And I thought, what's going on here? Because I looked all around, very crowded restaurant. No one was wearing a mask as long as they were seated. And so there was this, the waitress looked at us, our hostess said, yeah, you have to have a mask in order for us to seat you. And I couldn't help it in front of everyone. And I'm not a confrontational person. I just put my hands on that. You know what you just told me was absurd, don't you? You know that. You absolutely know that me walking 3 feet with or without a mask means nothing. You know that. And she admitted, she said, yeah, but hey, what can I do, right? It's a kind of thing, get the jab or lose your job. What can I do? I have to enforce it. So you see that kind of absurdity. And what you, if you want to evaluate a worldview, I mean, there are basically three tests for truth. You know something is true if it involves what's called logical consistency. So there can't be any contradiction. It has to have some kind of empirical adequacy. In other words, it's got to have some kind of evidence behind it. It can't just all be, you know, mathematical formulas in your head. You're going to have to apply it to something to see if it really works, as it were. And then third, it's got to have to have some kind of existential relevance. It's got to mean something to us. And that's usually where you see the worldview turn into art and literature and music and poetry and dance and drama and so on. So one of the reasons why I find secularism so odious is, number one, it's logically incoherent. It'll try to make arguments like, you are morally obligated to follow the science. But the problem is they don't have actually any moral law, any objective moral law. All morality is invented by the person who's telling me, who has the authority to tell me and enforce what's right and what's wrong. So I have no moral obligation. So there's a contradiction there. Or you have people who say there is no such thing as truth. And the very first thing you ask them is, well, is that true? You see, it's a contradiction. It's A versus not, I'm sorry, it's A and non-A at the same time. And all a person has to do is start arguing with you that I don't believe in the law of non-contradiction. All of a sudden, they've just proven it. They're arguing for one position over and against its opposite, but that's the law of non-contradiction. Two contradictory views can't both be true. So, and then you just the evidential nature of it as well. Science is constantly changing. So here's something, Michelle, to always remember. Questioning science is one of the most scientific things you can do.
Boom. That's right.
Questioning science is
science
one of the
technology.
Most scientifically sound things you can do.
Every Tuesday.
Yeah. So, and then
science and technology here with My Michelle Live. And again and again, we say science must be poked. It must be prodded. It must be reproven. If God himself says, test me, try me, prove me. I mean, if he even says that, then who the heck do we think we are to say it is settled science? You know, it just
we are scientific Bereans. That's exactly right.
They're scientific. Oh my gosh, that is the coolest phrase ever. Now, while I've loved this interview, boom, that's it. That's the drop the mic moment right there. Scientific Bereans. I absolutely love that. You mentioned Disney Girl and your conversation. Look, this does not make sense. And that's what happens when your worldview breaks down. What? And her response? Well, what can I do? Now, we're seeing around the globe people standing up. And it resulting in governments and entities going, oh, okay, and backing up a little bit, right? We're seeing that happen. So there, that is maybe part of the answer to the question I'm posing. What do we do? Your book, I'm going to put it up on screen, The Return of Christendom, argues that while we might not readily see it or hear it in the news, there is something happening under the surface, and maybe some of the oppression is kind of bringing to the surface what is brewing inside many of us, and that is a return to something eternal, kind of tossing out this this crazy worldview for something that has teeth.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, I think people have to be very pragmatic. I mean, I loved Nicki Minaj. I love how she handled it, you know, on Twitter when she said, you know, as for me, I'm really not into this. I haven't gotten vaxxed. I don't think I'm going to. But hey, you know, you got to pray about it and do your own research and come to your own conclusion. Huh, sounds like somebody who honors the sanctity of conscience, right? So I think you do, you have to go there. I think we can all be in absolute agreement where we may disagree over the nature of vaccines and so on, but we are in absolute unified monolithic agreement that vaccine mandates are absolutely immoral. You know, there's a fundamental difference. I mean, somebody wants to go and, you know, get sterilized, you know, for whatever crazy reason, let them go do it. They have every right. But there's an infinite gap between choosing to do that for yourself and forced sterilization. So that's the key, I think. And you just have to work that out. Where do you see, what do you think is best for you in your personal situation where you can be true to your beliefs, you can be true to your worldview, while at the same time navigating this very, very complicated situation where sometimes there's no good choice. You only have two bad choices. But you can take solace in the fact that this really is a world that is dying away. The technocratic world is rooted in modernity. Modernity is dead, and post-modernity is rising. And with that, technocracy itself is fading away, but this is kind of its last hurrah. That's what it looks like, and it's going to be rough for these next few years, no question. But scholars are already saying that by 2030, just because of demography itself, the fact that conservative religionists are having kids and secular cosmopolitan liberals have basically stopped
or aborting them. Yes.
You got it. Just the whole thing. It's just they turned the family into just another lifestyle value.
Yeah.
And you can't do that and expect to reproduce. And that's exactly what's happening. So scholars like Eric Kaufman at the University of London are arguing that by 2030, you're going to see the culture wars tip decisively in the conservative favor.
In the meantime, in our final minutes together, I first want to again point out, and you're seeing on screen, The Return of Christendom, which is Dr. Steve's book, and you can find a link at mymichellelive.com, of course. Let's just leave our audience with a little bit of hope in the God story, because times are tough and things are crazy, and that's what we want today, a little hope in hysteria.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, like you started off by pointing out, we are in a massive religious renewal right now. China right now is going through what many scholars believe to be the single greatest Christian revival ever in the history of the church. Within just a few years from now, just a couple of decades, Israel will be primarily Orthodox Jewish, because Haredi Jews, again, are having kids and secular Jews are not. By the end of this century, scholars predict there will be over 300 million conservative Mormons. And just a few decades later, over 300 million Amish. I have no idea what they're going to do with all those horse and buggies. And in connection
well, if
to
Biden
that as
has
well,
anything to say about it, they won't be using the horses. But
that's right. And in connection with that as well, evangelicals are growing by leaps and bounds. There's now a 15% fertility advantage for good old fashioned rednecks, good old fashioned rural Christians,
Carhartt wearing kids.
You got it. Over against their cult, their secular cosmopolitan counterparts. We're taking over. There's nothing they can do about it. Even with immigration, the crazy insanity at the border is generally a relatively Catholic demographic that's coming in that Florida's finding out and Texas is finding out are turning radically red as we speak. 70% of Cubans in Florida voted for Donald Trump. And so what we can be assured of is that our world is becoming more conservative, more religious. And while it's really scary in the meantime, in the interim, well, eternity always wins.
I love that. I have absolutely loved having you on the show. You're as much fun in person as you are on Turley Talks, which we'll have a link on My Michelle Live as well. Come on in and join me again. I just made a chai tea latte from scratch. I'll make you one. I promise.
Great. Thank you so much, Michelle. Very appreciated.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you too. And thank you for watching, listening, and reading. This is My Michelle Live.
More news and views at mymichellelive.com.